welcome to Radio Free HPC. This is where we talk about supercomputing, high-performance computing, and other technology topics. I'm your Toastmaster, Rich Bruckner from Inside HPC, with my co-hosts, Dan Olds from Gabriel Consulting, and Henry Newman from Instrumental. Now let's get to the show.
Hooray! Our pal Rich was busy this week. You were at a, what do you call it, what was it, OSCON?
Yeah, OSCON. It's the open source conference. It's put on by O'Reilly Group. And the thing I wanted to bring up was Tim O'Reilly came up and he spoke to this room full of 3,000 open source developers, right? And he brought up this notion of something called the clothesline paradox. And it's not a new idea. I think it was a book from, 1975. A fellow named Stuart Brand came up with this idea. And here's the notion, is that if you use your clothes dryer, right, to dry your clothes, that energy is counted and you get a bill, right? If you make the choice, on the other hand, to dry your clothes on the clothesline and fold them up and put them away, that never gets counted. But his message to this group of open source developers was, you are contributing and it's not being necessarily counted. Okay. This is an ecosystem, and by contributing your open source code, you are floating all the boats in this economy, in the greater ecosystem. And he went on to cite a number of examples that really live off of open source, including, oddly enough, Comcast, who makes $80 billion a year providing us ISP. Really what they're providing is a cable that's connected to a bunch of open source devices that provide us with the internet, the content.
So the backbone of the internet from the network vendors like Cisco and Juniper, and that's open source, Rich? Is that what he's saying?
Well, he's saying that the code that makes that run, right, is essentially open source, right? Everything from the Java to the Apache web servers and, sure. all this stuff.
But Java wouldn't have happened unless Sun was making tons of money. Back in the day.
Certainly, and it didn't start as an open source project either.
It was kind of forced there.
Yeah.
To get adoption. But no, he makes a good point in that there is an awful lot that is depending on open source, and that's all great. Where I sort of broke with it, and I took a look at the presentation he used, is where he was talking about, and I think his quote was, the generosity of those who created the internet and the World Wide Web, Linux, and the cornucopia of open source tools and languages that made the fertile soup from which today's tech innovation sprang. Love that alliteration with the fertile soup, too, by the way. That's a nice turn of a phrase. But it wasn't really generosity. I mean, the companies that host these backbones, they're doing all the interconnectivity, are doing it to enable their own business models. The internet wasn't built out of generosity. It was built out of what I would call enlightened self-interest.
And that self-interest originally was ARPA.
Yes.
And the research they were doing. So things don't move forward unless there's someone pushing it. In this case, started with ARPA, as we all know, and it became ARPANET. And Dan is correct. It's enlightened self-interest. You mentioned, Rich, that Comcast makes $80 billion a year. I don't know if that's a factual number or not, but I mean, they're doing it to make money.
They make half that from me, I think, Henry. So I think that's a pretty solid number. Because I've got my phones with, I have my phones with them too, and a business internet account. So half of it's me.
And if that's the case, Dan, you're buying dinner next time I see you if you got 40B.
Well, I don't because I'm paying it to them.
To bring this discussion into the HPC realm where we supposedly live here at this show, you look at some of the guys who put together the Beowulf software and you look at how our ecosystem really runs on those foundations, right? I don't see those guys driving around in Rolls Royces, right? I think, I think this model applies to our community.
To an extent, I would agree, but I also don't see a lot of people doing stuff for free because people have to pay their Comcast bill and they have to pay their mortgages and they need to make a living out of things.
And they got to pay for health insurance,
That's
which
true
is
too.
A big cost.
Yeah.
No doubt. no doubt. I didn't want to go down that road.
But there's definitely a big ecosystem out there. It's definitely helpful, but it's typically enlightened self-interest, not altruism, that's driving these products and the industry.
If it was altruistic, Dan, then there would be huge amounts of luster development done throughout the industry, and OpenSFS would not have had to start to actually fund luster's development. Comments?
Point taken. I agree.
And to home in on that, Henry, you know, we saw the acquisition of WhamCloud by Intel this week, right? And actually, it's, you know, unlike the previous acquisitions of that technology, or at least they don't own the IP, but this one was embraced by the community, right? The exact opposite reaction of when you know, Oracle took over. There was a lot of nervousness, right?
And it seems, and like, given what happened, right, it was nervousness in the right place.
Yeah, it was just uncertainty as to what would happen, and that doesn't seem to be the case here. I talked to those guys this morning, Brent Gorda, and some folks from Intel, and they're very much about continuity, and they don't want to make any changes. They want to continue to move Lustre forward as an open source project. To help float the exascale boat. And certainly that's in Intel's self-interest, right?
The other thing, too, though, to keep in mind is that open source doesn't necessarily mean free. That you can call,
yes,
you can call Red Hat an open source company, and in a lot of ways they are, but
yeah,
they're a company that's absolutely in it to make a living on
sure.
it.
Sure.
And there's, you know,
their stockholders right. require that, Dan.
Absolutely.
Right. But at the same time, they're the number one contributor to the Linux kernel. And guess who's number two? Intel. So, you know, these are very much for-profit companies. And your point is well taken.
Before that, I think, was IBM at one point.
Sure. Oh, absolutely. I think if you look at all open source, who contributes the most lines, IBM is, I think, number one out there. At least Sun used to be number one. Okay, so clothesline paradox. Let's wrap this up.
And now another quick word from our sponsors. Radio Free HPC is brought to you by Glade, Data Center Edition. Does your data center reek of nasty takeout lunches and old microwave popcorn? Or would you just like to have the fresh scent of baking bread wafting through your racks? Glade Data Center Edition's PCIe cards can mask the bad odors with a wide variety of attractive scents. Comes in compact half height by 2 or by 4 sizes, or get the powerful by 8 or by 16 full height cards to handle the toughest odors around. Glade Data Center Edition. Thanks, Glade. That smells great.
That's it for this edition of Radio Free HPC. Thank you for listening, and be sure to check back often for new episodes. Also, check out our website for more content, links, and a place for you to let us know what you think about the show. We're at RadioFreeHPC.com. Thanks again. We'll be back with another exciting episode real soon.